Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Ghostly Archives. This is our first story for you guys, and just before the Halloween season. How convenient. Now, if you happen to hear a howling wind outside, it's because a nice booming storm has just showed up in time for me to do this show. Now, of course, this show, as I said on the introduction episode, is about the Ghostly Forerunner. And you might know that as different names, depending on where you're from. But in the East Coast of Canada, and maybe in some areas of the United Kingdom or Ireland, we call it the Ghostly Forerunner. And I get into, during the story, in detail what that is. So this week's The Ghostly Forerunner, and I would probably talk about Forerunner ghosts more as I collect and give you stories as this podcast goes on. Next week's show, I'm going to do a podcast about a demonic entity that followed this Catholic girl around in the 60s and 70s. It's a story I collected long ago, and I thought, you know what? The Exorcist is 50 years old this year, so let's go with it. I haven't seen the new movie. I don't know if you guys have seen the new Exorcist movie, but I'm all about the original one. But we're going to do that next week. Before I get into the stories of the Ghostly Forerunner, be sure to follow me on all social media platforms. We've got TikTok, X, Instagram, and of course, visit the website. I'll put all the links for everything in the show notes. Please subscribe to the newsletter and definitely follow me on X. Now, let's talk about that Ghostly Forerunner, shall we? Forerunner. In Eastern Canadian folklore terms, a forerunner is the appearance of a ghostly figure or intangible set of events that serve as an omen or a warning of tragedy to come for an individual or an entire family. Though they can be protective and positive, in a majority of the cases, forerunners tell of a warning of death or illness that will soon be visited upon a family. If you look throughout history, you can find a multitude of examples in literature of forerunners, including Shakespeare and Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes. However, today, I'm going to tell you a tale that was handed to me by a family that has its roots set in the East Coast of Canada. Not as prolific as Shakespeare, perhaps, guys, but still quite telling, heartbreaking, and eerie, nevertheless. As our storyteller approached 80 years old on this recount, which was about 6 years ago, she recounts in this tale that had happened on her 17th year in 1955. So here is her paraphrase story. She said, 1955 had been quite a hard year for our family. We had just lost my brother Percy to a drowning earlier, and his body had never been recovered. Our mother passed away when we were both young, and as Percy was only a baby, he was adopted out to my Aunt Helen to raise. I had spent his entire life pretending, by order of the family, that he wasn't my brother, even though he was suspicious and questioned me many times on this. It was something that stuck with me all my life, that I could never tell him the truth. My father, whom we nicknamed Brick, had spent the last year since my brother's drowning navigating the shorelines of the Bay of Fundy, searching in vain for the body of his biological son, whom he had to also pretend wasn't his son for Percy's entire life. On one particular day, I was visiting my Aunt Helen, who was renowned as the family matriarch, and she was a teller of fortune cards and very much held on to folkloric beliefs we would consider of, quotation, olden times today. She was showing me how to read cards as we had tea while sitting in her sunroom, when suddenly she gazed off out the window into the distance. While gazing out of the window, my Aunt Helen informed me that she saw my father walking down the street towards her house, and I became aware of his heavy footsteps outside coming closer towards the front door. We both heard the footsteps stop and then heard a loud knock on the door, which I assumed was my father oddly asking for permission to enter. I got up, perplexed that he hadn't just walked in as usual, and went to open the door for him. As I opened the door, this awful feeling I would describe as 100 people walking over my grave blew over my skin, but the entire space was empty. Nothing. Not my father, not a soul there. I returned to my seat and explained to my aunt what had just happened. Aunt Helen then began to tell me about the term forerunner, and that I had just experienced one for the family. My aunt was adamant that the family would be experiencing more tragedy to come very soon, and according to her, she had omens presented to her before my brother Percy had drowned. We had no idea what would befall us, but it was disturbing that it was my father we saw walking up the street and to the house knocking, for he was quite alive and well. He was certainly not a ghost or a wailing banshee. As far as we could surmise, he was in a completely different part of the city and had not been anywhere near the house at the time of our experience. 2 days later, I was at home, and my father had come in from the pub, not entirely sober, but he decided he was good enough to deal with our little mare. Watching him made me a little nervous because I could tell his coordination had been compromised by the drinks, but I let him continue. The mare started to swing her head to the left, and my father backed up to miss the strike, but when she counter swung to the right, she caught him in the head and gave him a right hard smack. It hadn't knocked him off his footing, and he seemed well enough. He simply continued his chores with the mare and went on with his day. There was nothing thought of at all about this situation. 5 days later, we found him unconscious in the outhouse and rushed him to our local hospital, where he was diagnosed as having a broken vein from the horse strike. The blood was slowly leaking out and creating massive pressure in his head. The doctors tried to reduce the pressure and swelling by draining out the excess blood. However, technology wasn't the same in the 1950s, and 2 days later my father was dead. He died on the same day my brother Percy had gone missing on his boating trip and had been presumed drowned the year before. So that was the story that was told to me by that woman. This recounting of this story really had the effect of actually reliving a traumatic year for my storyteller, so it wasn't an easy task to do. The devastating effects of her brother's and her father's tragic death within the same year were really a dark burden for the family to bear, and the family apparently would have many more dark burdens and tragedies that happened after this, but that's for another time. So to this day, this lady believes that she experienced her father as a ghostly figure of his forerunner, tragically letting the family know that someone was indeed going to be leaving the family soon. It could potentially be seen as a coincidence, however, that is not my area to judge or prove. This tale was not only dealing with foreboding omens, but tremendous synchronicity as well, in that her father perished on the same day as his son did the year before. Not only this, but our source always felt a special connection to her father as they both shared the same birthday. The presence of Forerunner is not entirely uncommon on the east coast of Canada. Many of the occupants in that era were descendants of English or Irish immigrants who brought over with them many cultural beliefs, which included warnings of bad omens to come. One of the other things you can see, like in the Irish content of forerunners, the banshee would be considered a forerunner, for she's wailing and warning the family of death to visit the family. You can also look in folklorist Helen Crichton's Blue Nose Ghosts. There's a documentary on YouTube about that. And she refers to a lot of tales of people hearing spectral like horse and carriages walking by the house when there's nothing there. And then a few days later, a young member of the family dies. When they go to have his funeral procession, they hear the exact same carriage noise and horse and carriage, but it's really a real horse and carriage. But it was almost like a forewarning or an echo forth. And this really delves into a whole bunch of different areas where this idea of time happening all at once, or things are pre-recorded, or you're literally seeing it because it's already happened, everything's already happened, and you're kind of jumping ahead in a loop, almost like we are in a universe that's almost like a recording or a simulation, if you will. Now, back in those days in the 1950s, and some of the other old stories of like a dog or a Berserker dog that was a forewarning, they didn't have these concepts of like universes and, you know, this idea of a sort of video game, almost a rewritten program. They didn't have those concepts, but they saw these happenings and these experiences as a warning. And the worst thing, and I'm going to tie this up on this little podcast here, this short little story, one of the worst things about the forerunner and the forewarning is there's really nothing you can do to stop it. Helen Crichton, like I mentioned before, is a really good resource in her book Blue Nose Ghost. There's several really creepy stories about forerunners, about being warned of your own death. One which included a man who seen pretty much his own doppelganger that chased him, skeletal looking, but he didn't realize it was his doppelganger. It was a skeletal figure that chased him down a field, and he ran and escaped. And he was with a friend who was running with him. A friend was witnessing it, and they were quite terrified. And about a year or so later, I think, might have been even longer than that, the friend who was with that guy went to visit him and realized he was dying of some disease, probably typhus or something like that in those days. And when he went to visit the friend and look at him, he looked exactly like that doppelganger, like that thing that chased them. And he realized it was a forerunner. It was chasing them through a field, but it was him, and it was warning him of his impending death and doom that would happen to him. So it's almost like it's warning you, it's prepping you psychologically, but it's fate and you can't stop it and there's nothing you can do about it, which makes the forerunner all the more tragic and dark and foreboding. And it's why in times past, where people were more superstitious, to see a forerunner was met with the worst. It actually didn't help them. It just gave them this impending doom. And it was seen as, you know, putting fear in people's hearts. The lady told me this story with her father almost being his own forerunner, just like that fellow I told you that got chased by that skeletal figure, only to realize it was him, his own self, her own father, but didn't chase her father. It showed up to her to warn her that, you know, almost like fate was coming, like things are pre-written and it's written in the cards that this is what's going to happen. So whether you've seen a figure, heard a ghostly wail, had a nightmarish dream, heard a spectral horse and carriage or a car perhaps, whichever experience it would be, if you've had anything similar to a forerunner that you call by a different name, I'd love to hear about it. Contact me on the website, melissadawneclectic.com. Links are in the show notes. I hope you guys enjoyed that story about the forerunner, and I encourage you to buy Helen Crichton's book, The Blue Nose Ghost, because it has a lot of old tales. Helen Crichton was quite famous for collecting folklore from very remote villages and songs and tales, and she's quite fascinating because a lot of the stories are ones you've probably haven't heard before. So I want to thank you for tuning in to the Ghostly Archives. Remember, send me your experiences on the website, melissadawneclectic.com, and all my links will be in the show notes. Also, I'll put the email that you can reach the podcast at. This is Melissa Dawn, bidding you farewell, and have a good evening. Until next time.